The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 30th, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine V. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, what a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. I have a special announcement. This is the last show of 2024. Where has this year gone? I can't believe it. And you know, usually the last Monday of the month we do the pledge, and I'm just going to say the pledge right now. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And that is so important, you know, to understand that we've been doing that all year. Well, joining me on the phone, I'm very excited to announce, is a very, very one of my favorite people in the entire world, Sherry Glaser. Sherry is a feminist, a comedian, an actor, and author of the book, The First Pocket Chictionary, which she wrote with another dear friend of mine, Kim Tripsmith. Sherry is joining me today to talk a little bit about her life, but also she's going to do something special. Since it's the end of the year, we're going to do a tarot reading. Sherry is also a tarot reader and a marvelous one. I mean, I've talked to her a few times and had her pull a few cards for me, and I'm really very, very impressed. And so she's going to do a three-card reading. It's going to be the past, the present, and looking at the future into 2025. Can you believe it? 2025, actually, Ken and I are going to be celebrating our 25th anniversary, April Fool's, and I'm going to be 85 in March, so five is a pretty big number for all of us. Well, a special happy Kwanzaa to all my friends out there. It's all my African-American friends. It started on December 26th, which is the day after Christmas, and it ends on January 1st, 2025. Wow. You know, Kwanzaa is very interesting. It was created by Dr. Maluna Karanga in 1966. Kwanzaa is a joyous celebration of Pan-American culture and community. For some, Kwanzaa is an alternative winter holiday, and for others it's an addition to Christmas, Hanukkah, and other celebrations. That's why it's really interesting when people say happy holidays. I say happy holidays because I celebrate Christmas, I celebrate Kwanzaa, and I celebrate Kwanzaa. I think it's an amazing holiday. Either way, it's a great time for family, friends, and feasting. Kwanzaa centers on the seven all-important principles that are worth knowing and participating, even if you don't celebrate the holiday. Now, what does Kwanzaa mean? This literally translates to first fruit, referencing the holiday roots in traditional harvest festivals. And I'm going to give you the seven principles because I think they are very, very important. The first one, I'm not going to read it in Swahili. You know, hopefully next week we're going to have somebody on to really give us an in-depth definition of Kwanzaa and how it happens and who will understand the language. But I'm going to give you the English interpretation of the seven principles. The first one is unity. The second one is determination. The third one is responsibility. The fourth one is cooperative economics. That means sharing the goods with all. Another is purpose. The sixth one is creativity. And the last one is, I think, is the most important one, and that is faith. We have to have faith in the future. You know, we can't let ourselves be overwhelmed. So many people are depressed because of the election, because of other things that are happening, the holidays. I mean, I just get so tired of these holidays that all of a sudden we're supposed to be celebrating the Prince of Peace and there's all these wars going on in the Holy Land. It just drives me crazy. So it's really important that we start looking at that we start looking at our faith and make sure that we continue to hold on and recognize that, hey, life is good. Live in the moment, you know, and just try to do your very best. And each one of us can just do a little bit for peace. just a little bit, you know, maybe talk about peace, talk to our neighbors, you know, start really being the peacemakers that we need to be in order to bring peace in this wild world. I mean, I have to scratch my head. I mean, I can't believe we have all these wonderful, wonderful inventions. I think of the airplane, you know, to think that we fly in the air and we don't drop off, although there was just a horrible, horrible accident. But the thing is that we have to have faith and we have to have trust that things are going to work out and that we can work together as long as we come together as a community. And I love that. The first principle in Kwanzaa is unity, coming together, being as one people. We are children of the earth. You know, we are really brothers and sisters. You know, it's so sad how we divide ourselves. Well, I have a few announcements to make that I think are pretty important. There's going to be a special New Year's party that the, excuse me, the North Bay Black Chamber of Commerce is going to be putting on. It's going to be at the New Year's Eve at the old school. It's called an old school party. I don't know. I'm interested what they mean by old school, but that'll be kind of exciting to be happening. It's going to be happening at the New World Ballet, and like I said, hosted by the North Bay Black Chamber of Commerce. It's happening December 31st. The doors open at 8 o'clock. And to find more information, go on the website of the newworldballet.com. That's newworldballet.com. And you'll find out how to get tickets. It looks like it's $35 for adults and $25 for 3 to 17 years old, and I know they're making some other adjustments. But the most important thing is to go to www.newworldballet.com, and you can find out all that information. And also you can go on to Facebook to the North Bay Black Chamber of Commerce. And also another thing that's happening that I think is very, very important to pay attention to is called the Freedom Fund Gala. And the Freedom Gala is being sponsored by the local branch of the NAACP here in Sonoma County. And it's very important, I think, that people show up and support it. It's happening at 125. It's happening at the backdrop, it's called. And if you want to find out more information, just go on to the NAACP.com website, and they have all the information, the pricing, and all that other stuff. And the whole idea behind the Freedom Fund Gala is at our local branch. It's a local fundraiser which directly supports a scholarship fund for local school students entering higher education. So it's a great thing to support, and that's going to be happening on January 25th. And hopefully I'll have more information about it next week, because I can't find an actual website that they're sending us to or any email. So I suggest that you just go on the NAACP's website. I'm sure, Sonoma County, I'm sure they will have all the information, but I will have much more information for us when I have more information, let's put it that way. Well, I have a big shout out to do. We had a wonderful, wonderful holiday. I just loved it. We spent it with our great-grandchildren, our grandchildren, and my beautiful daughter and her husband, Dave. And I was so excited because my beautiful, beautiful granddaughter, I can't believe she's not even married 3 months, and her beautiful husband, Trevor. So as Katie and Trevor Elliott, they came in yesterday. We had a wonderful Thai dinner and lots of conversation. And now my granddaughter, Katie, my grandson, Trevor, my daughter, Susan, and my son-in-law, Dave, are now traveling down to, where they went to, but they're going to watch the 49ers and the Detroit Lions. And that was a special Christmas gift that Katie and Trevor gave my daughter and her husband. Amazing. So shout out. Hello, guys. I know you're traveling, and I hope you're listening in, and I just want to send a big hug and a big kiss to all of you. Well, you know, like I said, you know, time is going by so quickly. It just drives me crazy. And what I do, like what we do every Monday on the air, is we do a little segment called Our History is Our Strength. Why do we have that program every week? Because it's to remind us women, particularly, whose shoulders we are standing on. And we are standing on some pretty powerful women. Well, I have two specific birthdays that I want to talk about. The first one, the woman was born on December 30th, which is today, but it was in 1912. She made her transition in 1995. That was Margaret Wade. She won the state and regional champion as a semi-professional basketball player. Became high school coach in 1935 and set a lifetime record of 453 wins, 89 losses, and 6 ties, and inspired the Wade Trophy in 1968, awarded annually to the best collegiate women's team. Now, why did I announce this? Because I am a basketball fan. It's one of the few sports that I really love, and I think it's because I played basketball when I was in junior high school. Also, it's really interesting when you think about it, because my mother took me off the team. You know, when she found out the coach was actually a woman, ex-Marine, my mother says, oh no, my daughter's not going to be working with that woman. And, you know, it's really, we have come a long way. We have come a long way as women, and we have to recognize that. And at the same time, we're losing a lot of ground. I mean, it's very frightening to hear some of the things that I hear from other women when they talk about, oh my God, what's going to happen in 2025? What's going to happen in the next 4 years? Well, that's why we have to be persistent, diligent, involved, and have trust and faith in ourselves and others that we will work through all this. And, you know, my prayer is that our leaders come to the conclusion that peace and love are a lot more profitable than hate. I mean, that we're kind of in a quagmire where we don't really know how to come out of it. We don't really know how to make money or make profit with peace. But, you know, that day is going to come. I have faith in that. And another birthday I think is very interesting, and this is very important, because right now I cannot believe that there was an announcement that they want to stop the polio vaccine in schools. You know, I'm 85 years old. I remember polio. I remember my cousin Dee Dee had polio, and the whole family was freaking out. I remember young people going into iron lungs. They couldn't even breathe. And when the Salk vaccine came out, it was a miracle. And what was also so interesting is Mr. Salk never took a profit for that vaccine. He donated the whole aspect of it. There was no profit made. It was a miracle. And I remember when we first got the Salk vaccine, I remember my mother was so relieved. She was crying, you know, because she was so scared. She had 3 children. You know, that was a hard one. You know, so I wanted to do a shout out to this person was born, that's Selma Burke. She was born December 31st, 1900, and she made her transition in 1995. She was the sculptor and part of the Black Resistance under Augustus Savage, and she created the artwork of the Roosevelt Dime, which was established the Selma Burke Art Center in the early 1970s. So here's an African-American woman artist who developed the dime for the March of Dimes. And let me tell you about the March of Dimes. The March of Dimes is a United States nonprofit organization that works to improve the health of mothers and babies. The organization was founded by U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1938 as the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis to Combat Polio. And they did. They did conquer it. And the name March of Dimes was coined by Eddie Cantor after funding Jonas Salk's polio vaccine. The organization expanded its focus to the prevention of birth defects and infant mortality. Amazing. In 2005, as preterm birth emerged as the leading cause of death for children worldwide, research and prevention of premature birth became the organization's primary focus. So here you had the March of Dimes that was working very hard to raise money to help create this vaccine for that Salk created and then all of a sudden distributed to all the children. It was a miracle. It was a miracle that happened. And I cannot imagine being a mother right now to send my child to school and know that they are not preventing some things like polio. I mean, it's very scary to me. I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like, excuse me, to have an outbreak again. I saw what it was like when I was growing up. I know what it was like. And I'll tell you something, we better pay attention. And I would bet you, you know, I listened to a program called Justice Matters with Mr. Kirshner, and one of the things he says is he's not a big bettor. He'll only bet a dollar on anything, but I would bet a dollar if we stop that vaccination, it'll be horrible. So women, we have to stand up against that. That's very, very important. Our children have got to be protected. Because if one child is unprotected, all children are unprotected. And I think you should do a little bit of research. Go back in history and see what it was like living in an iron lung. Oh, God, it just gives me the chills thinking of it. Well, we are going to take a musical break, and we're about to bring Cherry on. Let's keep our fingers crossed, Ken, that the phones are working okay. It's already 11:20. We want to get her on the phone. We're going to open the song. We're going to open the musical break. I'm going to play Aquarius, sung by the Sunlight Shakes. And the reason I'm playing Aquarius is because that's where we're at. We are in Aquarius now, and we came out of Pisces where they had a lot of wars, a lot of frustration, and we're looking at the horrors of what has happened by some of the activities and actions that we've taken over the last, when we were in the Pisces area. So I think it's very important that we pay attention to the song and to pay attention to what's going on in the world today. Well, when we return, I will be talking with Cherry Glazer. Sherry's a feminist, a comedian, an actor, and author of the first pocket Chictionary. It's really funny when they had Chictionary in. You know, they put the line under while you're typing. I went and looked it up to see the definition. There's no definition. So I'm pushing that this should be a word in the dictionary, which she wrote with Kim Trismith. She's an amazing woman, and we are going to do a tarot reading for the past, the present, and the future. I'm so excited about that. Cherry Glazer is a competent tarot reader, and I know that she will share a lot of information with us, and not only that, her take on things always makes you laugh and smile. So let's go ahead and play Aquarius, Ken, and then we'll get Cherry on the phone. Hi there. Oh my God, we're having difficulty this morning with some of the equipment. It's it's really kind of amazing to me this is happening. But, you know, when you're live, you can expect anything. Well, for you just joining, that was Aquarius. That I remember when we saw the play, I just went nuts because I knew we're coming into a new era, and here we are, 2024, with only 2 days away from 2025. Well, for you just joining, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce one of my favorite people in the whole world, Sherry Glazer, who's joining me on the phone. Welcome, Sherry. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Well, thank you, Elaine. That was quite an introduction, along with Let the Sun Shine In and The Age of Aquarius.
I know.
That's one of my favorite songs, too. Absolutely. I've been singing it since Pluto went into Aquarius. Like, here we are. So, thank you for that.
Hold on, Sherry. Hold on.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Wait, hold on, hon. Just hold on. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now very well. Can you?
Okay,
I'm gonna pull this down. Mm-hmm. We're having technical difficulties a little bit. Well, look, Sherry, you know, I was gonna do a whole thing about who you are and what you do, but instead of that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I want to hear, how would you describe yourself and how would you describe what you do? And now that you're doing tarot reading, which I just think is absolutely stunning, you know, let us know a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a pagan Jew, and I was born in New York 64 years ago, and my my journey, my path was, you know, fraught with trauma and all, like everyone, you know, we have to go through the pain of life, and I took the pain of life and turned it into comedy, and that's what I do. I'm a truth teller, and I dress up the pain in characters and make people laugh about the inevitable difficulties, technical difficulties of being on this planet. I've been an actress, I'm a writer, I've had my own one-woman shows from something I call Family Secrets to The Adventures of Super Activist Mother to Taking the High Road about my experience running a cannabis dispensary, and my latest show is called Intro to Her Story 101, Shifting the Paradigm. And I'm a double Gemini with a Scorpio moon, and I do come here often.
Wow, that's a lot, let me tell you. Well, let's get into what we were going to do this thing. Let's see, talk about, you know, we're coming into 2025 and all the chaos and all the stuff that's happened in the world. Why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, the tarot cards, what they are about, why do you believe they are important for change and understanding oneself? And then later on in the show, when we go into the second segment, I want to talk a little bit about your book, Chictionary. So go ahead, tell us a little bit about the tarot and how you got involved and why you feel it's so important.
Well, the one show that I didn't mention is Oh My Goddess, and where I embody the Mother Earth. And her style is to remind us of the simplicity of being on Earth and loving your mother. And I equate, like, being on Earth as being part of the solar system. And a lot of people don't have... They really don't relate to the planets and their influence on us. We're all born under a specific sign at a perfect time, and wherever the planets were at that time is your roadmap for life. And that's why people consult astrologers and find out what's going on. And Tarot is a version of that kind of divine information, but it's more personal and earthbound. It is based on the elements. It's elemental, my dear. Earth, water, fire, air. And it tells a story when you pull the cards, and that's what we are individually, is a story. And it's a harrowing story. It's a mystery. It's a suspense. It's a comedy. And the tarot reflects that back to us, like, you know, by chapter. So when you get a reading, it's the particular chapter of your life that you're in. And while the earth, water, fire, air are the minor arcana, which is ace to king of cups, wands, swords, and pentacles, there's major arcana like the magician and the high priestess and the emperor and the devil and the tower and the temperance, where these things are happening to you right now, major events, major arcana. And like you said, the intensity of this last year and what's about to come, we need help. We need guidance. We need somebody or something, reflection, to tell us, you're okay. You're going to get through this. You're going to learn, because that's why we're here. We're in a story of life to learn what we didn't learn the first time around or the second time around. So here we are in the big karma stew, reliving things over and over until we wake up and go, I don't have to do that anymore, and take steps for healing. So it is one of the most powerful, intimate healing techniques, tools one can use, is the tarot, because the relief is instant. I read for lots of people, and when we get on the Zoom and start talking, I can see the pain in their faces, or we're on Zoom or whatever. I can see the struggle, the hurt. But once we get into the reading, there's relief, because when you already know the truth going on inside of you, it's just being able to articulate what's happening and how it feels. And when the tarot kind of picks you and says, "This is happening. This is what's going on with you. This is what you can do. This is the beauty of it. This is the benefit of it," then you feel better. And that's true in all my work. Everything I do, whether it's comedy on stage or tarot or writing the dictionary, my intention is to help everyone feel better.
Well, you know, it's really interesting that you say that. I think that's why I do the radio. You know, it's just, you want to open people's minds and hearts to things, and I think that's very important. Well, you know, how did you transfer? I mean, here you are, you've always been to comedy, and now you're doing tarot. I mean, I think that's just amazing. How did that happen?
Well, when I left New York when I was 18, I moved to San Diego, the whole world changed. You know, I went from sunrise to sunset and that the light of the Pacific Ocean and the avocado and the alfalfa sprouts and the new age bookstores, because this was 1978, and I came upon my first deck. But my mom had a tarot deck, so I'd already been introduced to it. But once I found the Rider-Waite deck, I was like, I need to know that, I need help. And so I started studying it, and I did it personally and privately for, you know, like 40 years.
Well, it's interesting.
And then when I was in Mendocino, there was an actual witch's tower, a beautiful, gorgeous building that was looked over the ocean. There was at the top of that was a place where I could read for a living, and it was a witchy shop. And so I worked there, and it became something that I can do joyfully and happily and make some money.
Well, that's
I need it. That's and I can't hold a regular job. I'm not a good employee.
You know, it's really exciting to hear you talk about the changes that you've gone through in order to get to the tarot, how the tarot has helped you. I know for myself, when I first found out, when I look at the tarot, my birthright is a 17, which is a star, and all of a sudden it helped me understand a few things about myself. So let's get into this. You know, I'm really excited that you're willing to do a tarot reading for the past present and the future. And also what we're going to do is I would like you to pull three cards. And while you're pulling the three cards, I'm going to play a song. I'm going to take a musical break, and we're going to play The Blood of the Ancestors, sung by Betsy Rose and the Women's Choir. And when we come back, we'll do an interpretation of the three cards you pulled. How does that sit with you?
Sounds great.
Okay, let's go ahead, Ken. Let's go ahead and play. We're going to take a musical break. Sherry is now pulling. She's dealing with her deck right now, and she's going to pick three different cards. And when we come back after the musical break, she will give us an interpretation. So now we're going to go ahead, and we're going to play Blood of the Ancients, sung by Betsy Rose. Let's go ahead, Ken. Yes, the new world. That's 2025. We're going to be having a new year coming in. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and my name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host, and I'm continuing my conversation with actor, author, and tarot reader Sherry Glazer, one of my favorite people in the whole world. So, Sherry, are you there with me, and did you choose the three cards?
I did. Yes, I did.
What did you
come here? Okay, so we pulled a past, present, future, and it looks pretty good here. The past is the temperance card, and that's 14. And as difficult and harrowing as our past has been, especially this past year, this card has a guardian angel on it, and the guardian angel is just in a beautiful like gown, and one foot in the water and one foot on the earth, and a divine light around its head, and a long path behind it heading into the mountains, and two cups in one cup in each hand pouring water back and forth, which is alchemy. So this card tells us that whatever we've been through, I'm going to say the last year because I don't know how far back we're going to go here in the past, so we've been watched over, and it requires an enormous amount of patience. And because we live in a world that is so instant messaging and download instantly and everything now, that we have lost the art. And at the same time, there has been we've almost been forced into being patient. I know my own impatience with the politics and all that I had to just stop and stop pushing for it to be okay and better. So that is the past.
Well, one thing I liked about that card is you said you had one foot in the water and one foot on the earth. And, you know, during the 2024, we've had so much flooding, so many, you know, earthquakes. I mean, it feels like the earth has just been going through all kinds of changes. So I think that's very, very powerful that you picked that particular card that, you know, that points that out, that, you know, yeah. that we and do. Go ahead.
And it points out also, one for the water, one for on the land, that our emotional life with the water needs our full attention. When we're feeling emotional, sad or scared or angry or happy, we have to stop what we're doing and take a moment and feel that emotion in our bodies. And the emotions are key to joy, happiness, and survival. So, and then the foot on the earth is when you're doing what you're doing, you need to focus on that and not be all emotional about it. You need to be mindful. And that's the thing we've been learning. And that those cups are alchemy. And that's like figuring out what the ingredients, the recipe is for your life. A little of this, a little salt, a little sorrow, a great deal of joy, you know, and that's what we've been doing is we're sorting out how to live this life. And be okay.
And how to live this life with all these massive changes that are going on. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
So it's
finding your own ingredients, your own recipe for you. And that's, you know what you can eat and how you can sleep better and what you need to do to exercise. All those things we've been learning. And in the present, if I may move into that.
Oh, go right ahead. First of all, what was that card? The first card was number 14, Temperance, right?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go with this.
That was a major thing. Now, right now, because we're in the transition, we're just at the end of the year, we have the Eight of Wands, and that is an illustration of eight wands soaring through the sky, unencumbered, over the earth, over a countryside with a big river going through it and clouds. And this card is the only card I ever dreamed of, and it told me, manage your pain, your spirit is free. And being on earth is painful. Let's just get that straight, okay? Giving birth is painful. Being born must hurt a lot, coming through that tiny little, you know, that little hole. If you know ways to manage your pain, whatever it takes to get you through the night, it's a good idea to have a list right now, because being on earth is very, very hard. Very hard. It's financially, it's physically, it's mentally, it's politically. Being a human being on the planet for every single person is painful. And so when you manage the pain, your spirit, your fire, your mojo, your passion can move you in ways that, is the big picture. Like, even though this is happening on Earth, and your spirit is here for a reason, and it's purposeful, and it's almost like an awakening to your higher power. And that, so we are being invited to manage the pain below and give up, like give it up to Goddess, give it up to the divine, say, help me, I'm ready, I'm here, I'm sign me up, because you're here already, and this is, you weren't born at this time accidentally.
Well, it sounds like the present is a time to just let go and let the spirit come in, let your own consciousness evolve, all those things that need to happen in order for you to put some sort of sanity on what's going on in the world, and not to be in it, but to participate in it, but not to let it take you over. Would you say that would be a little bit added to that definition?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. That the phrase let go is very, very key here. And we have a tendency to think, let it go. And you can't let it go, but you can let go. All you got to do is say it and open your hands. Let go. Let go. So every time you're running into a seeming obstacle, let go. Let go. let go. And you'll get a breath, and you'll be able to function, and magic, that makes room for the magic, which is all around and inside us. So,
yeah.
So what?
And eight is the number of infinity, too. Because we have a tendency to think, when's this going to end already? When's this going to be over? When are we gonna? And it doesn't. It's never ending. You have to ride. Get on the ride, and you're on the ride until the day you die, and probably past that, but I don't have that info.
Well, you know, sometimes I think when I think, especially when I think of those wands, you know, wands to me, they're like a spear going forward, you know, and not to allow yourself to be pulled back. You know, not to allow yourself to not move forward. And you know, and one way that I find moving forward is just to get active, you know, become part of the community, do something for peace, do something for the children. So it's really an important card. So can you tell the name of the card again and the number?
It's Eight of Wands.
The Eight of Wands.
And it's about, like you were saying too, it's about focus. Like, what are you focusing all that on? It's how you have that energy, because you're all fire. This is fire. And where are you going to put that? Are you going to spend your fire and just be mad at everything and, you know, fight it and resist it? Or are you going to gather your fire, tend your fire, and focus, like you say, on some service, you know, somewhere to for the cause of the benefit of all. So, yes, all that.
I'm always so impressed that how the cards speak to you. I mean, it's amazing to me that they just speak to you. Even now, as you're giving the reading, I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, the present, she picked an eight. And an eight, you know, numerology is the pusher, the one behind everybody, you know. And so it's so important that we stand up and we speak out. I mean, it's amazing. So let's go into the future. My God, everybody wants to know about the future, right? So what does the future look like here in 2025? I mean, you know, you got to recognize, folks, we're doing a tarot reading, whether you believe it or not. I mean, we can't put it on you. But the thing is, it gives us some sort of insight, some sort of outline, some sort of way to move forward through a lot of the chaos that we're going through. So what is the future?
The future is the Four of Wands. And that is an illustration of four wands planted in the ground, almost like tree trunks, but they're thin. And then across them is a beautiful set array of flowers. And then in between the wands in the middle is a sandcastle. Looks like desert. And this is so interesting because it's about bringing those wands that we just talked about, half of them, into the world, okay? Because spirit, fire, is, you know, ethereal. But if you embody it, that is joy. And so the future is that it's saying about, you know, joy passes by, you just catch it as it passes. And joy isn't not consistent, it moves quick, so, and it's temporary, just like the other emotions, but this is particularly temporary. And so to really, really acknowledge and bask, this is basking in the joy. Because what we're facing is not that. You know, the actual conditions are, you know, very serious, very complicated, very dangerous. And it does not extinguish joy. And you know, you can see that, like in communities that have been oppressed for centuries, like the Black community and the Jews, you know, that suffered the Holocaust and slavery and all that. They have the best sense of humor. It's just a survival And it's a gift to laugh in the face of danger. And because the situation, the conditions are going to be, they're unpredictable and, like, they're going to be eruptive and chaotic. So I want to empower everyone to recognize the joy. Like, even if you just go, woo! And have a good laugh, you know, because we are very, really taking things super, super seriously. And I'm not saying they're not seriously. They're not serious, but they are medicinal. And one of the remedies is joy. And it's joy is an endangered species right now.
Well, actually, you know, what's interesting about what you're saying, especially about the Four of Wands, which you're cutting the Eight of Wands in half. Like you said, it's like the joy. It's what I was thinking, especially during the holidays. You know, usually I have, you know, kind of, oh, God, do we have to go through all this and blah, blah, blah. And I decided to change my mind, you know, just to enjoy what is coming forward, to look at the good. And, you know, I know there's a lot of chaos around the election and all that other stuff, but that's not going to stop me from looking at the good and the joy that I can have in situations, you know, and to keep my mind open to that so I can perform or I can move forward and help other people. Because getting down or getting negative, what does that solve? And it's a hard issue. You know, oftentimes people say, what do you mean? I'm supposed to be happy when this is happening? It's not a matter of, joy doesn't necessarily mean happiness. It means feeling good just about where you are. Would you kind of agree with that in a way?
Joy is it's just a feeling. And it's like looking at a rainbow or clouds or, you know, the ocean. There is this, it's earthly. That's why these wands are stuck in the ground. It's like when your spirit touches down, when you're in the awe, like, and it has very much earth related when you ground. And it's temporary. That's why it's a sand castle. And also there is a, you know, these wands look like a chuppah, which is in the Hebrew religion is where you get married under. So this also bodes well for community, for joining together, gatherings, small gatherings, and you know, we're not going to be able to have the big, huge events of days gone by, but that just like four people having dinner together, you know, that kind of intimate, that's joy. There's, you know, and, or your little family or you and your friends, those sacred spiritual connections are where the joy lies.
Well, I'll tell you, in just listening to this, I have a lot of optimism suddenly. And one of the things that you said about the wands, about being planted in the earth, you know, it's really a symbol to me that we are children of the earth and that we are really family, we're really community together, and that we need to look at that and feel that and see that. So I think that is a just amazing thing. Well, Sherry, like all times on radio, time goes by so fast, we don't know what hit us. So what I'm going to do right now is, I know you wrote this wonderful book, A Chick Canary, and I love it. I mean, I think it's one of the most brilliant pieces, and what you say is you're going to take the dick out of dictionary. I mean, how much better can it get? So why don't you give us your website, how you can get a hold of the book, how you can, if you want to make a tarot appointment, no phone numbers, just give us your website, and any last words that you'd like to say about the reading, about the program, about life itself. It's all yours.
Okay. Well, the book is called Mama's First Pocket Chictionary, Taking the Dick Out of Dictionary, A Bridge to the Feminine Paradigm, where spelling is the essence of matter. How you make things happen is how you spell. It's like casting a spell. And all the words that have to do with the feminine have the masculine interrupting or just erasing the feminine altogether. And it's very funny, and you'll respell words so they make you feel good. It's the vibration. It's the resonance. it rings a bell. And I'll give you one example because we have a minute. Like all the words like wonderful, powerful, hopeful, they're spelled with one L, and that means they're not even full. So we suggest right away this year, this minute, to add that extra L to any word that ends with full. And then you change the accent to the second syllable, so it would be wonderful, joyful, peaceful, hopeful, beautiful. See the difference in beautiful, helpful, joyful. See, it doesn't do anything. But when you add that fill up the full, you're going to have a different resonance, which brings you joy. And
Sherry, you have to give your website real quick.
All right, well, it's www.sherryglazer.com or .org, one of those. I haven't looked at my website in a while. And you can get the book at Barnes & Noble, Mama's First Pocket Dictionary, and that's at barnesandnoble.com.
Well,
and that's what you do. And you can connect with me on Facebook, Sherry Glazer. And I'd be happy to read your tarot on Zoom. And, you know, have a great, good luck to everybody. Breath of luck is what I got.
Well, Sherry Glazer, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on the show. You did a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful presentation of the tarot. I really appreciate that, and I want to wish you a happy, happy new year. Well, folks, that's it. You know, thank you so much for listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And like I say at the end of show, every show, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. And as we go into 2025, ask yourself, how can I be a peacemaker? What can I do to bring peace and joy to the world? Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody. This is Elaine B. Holtz, co-producer with Ken Norton of the radio show Women's Spaces. Ken and I want to wish all of our listeners a happy new year, one filled with good health and peace of mind. Following tradition, we are going to play Auld Lang Syne. New Year's Eve would not be New Year's Eve without Auld Lang Syne, and this particular recording is performed by the Pistol Annies. At the end of this song, we are happy to announce that we will be playing the full recording of our theme song, The Woman in Your Life Is You, sung by Halleck Dockbin. Once again, Happy New Year and enjoy.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and old lang syne? For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, should all acquaintance be forgot and never brought to should old acquaintance be forgot for auld lang syne?
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. The woman in your life knows simply what is true. She knows a simple way to touch take you home now. The woman in your life, she can touch so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you. And who knows more about your story, about your struggles in the world? Who cares more to bless your weary shoulders than the woman in your life, as she's trying to come through? A woman's voice with messages, a woman's feelings. Sure to give you courage, and who will surely make you strong, who will bear all the joy that is coming to you, if not a woman in your life, as she's someone to pursue. She's patient and she's waiting, and take you home now. The woman in your life, she can wait so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 30th, 2024.